Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, we've got baseball. We've got big news out of Indianapolis with Michael Lewis. We've got NHL playoffs. I don't know if you got to see the big Pittsburgh victory the other night, but an exciting victory, a 3-1 lead, and Joe's happy.
Well, I know you're happy, and I knew you would be happy. There's very few people in America that like hockey, and I just happen to have a co-host that's one of them. And I'm glad you're happy on this Friday edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. And you know, Joe, I told our listeners last week, we are in our final month of our season. May is our final month before we go into our hiatus, our summer break.
Yeah, and I listened to you too, and as I predicted, you had 2 hours and didn't miss a beat. Had some interesting subjects. As I laid in bed, I did listen and thought, you know, gosh, he just can talk for 2 hours, and I figured if we had another hour, you could have went another hour without breathing as well.
It's a wealth of wisdom, and wily, wryly, miley wit. For the Coach K and the Coach K and Joe Show.
Yeah, the other night, I took the twins out to eat. I had to cook supper because Liz was busy, so of course we went to the headquarters instead of me cooking. And saw Tom Chick Ollis there, and he told me about an excursion you guys were going to make yesterday. Did you guys have a good time at the Cardinal-Phillies game?
We absolutely did, and Chick, as you know, you say that I talk. There's no one that tells a better story and more stories than Tom Chick Ollis, and it was a great trip over. He told me that he saw you at the headquarters. He said you got all concerned because you thought maybe we were staying overnight, and is he going to show up for the show? And, Joe, I wouldn't let you down for the show. You know that.
No, I wasn't as concerned about that. I just figured we could be live from St. Louis. That'd be kind of cool, and, you know.
No, we did have a good trip, and if you'll, for our listeners, if you look at our Facebook page, I posted a picture from yesterday with Tom Chick Ollis, and those of you who live in the DuBois County area, our show is broadcast out of southern Indiana. I'm in Evansville, and Joe's in Jasper, Indiana, and those of you in this area may know Tom Chick Ollis and the Ollis family, dad, longtime mayor of Jasper, but more importantly, they're huge sports and really baseball fans. And Chick's a big Phillies fan. And my brother Ed and I went over with Tommy Chick Ollis. I posted a picture of me and Chick. And here's the great thing, Joe. Here's the thing that trumps anything about beautiful weather and Busch Stadium and the Cardinal Way, which I don't buy. Just being with Chick, a longtime family friend, for you, knowing that he has gone through hell and back as all people who fight diseases and especially cancer and go through chemotherapy. And he has been, to this point, he's done with chemo. He has been cleared as 100% as they can tell him. Obviously, we never know what the future brings for any of us, but it was great to be driving over there, listening to those stories, those classic Chick stories, going to the game, talking baseball, talking about old times, and knowing that I'm still there with my buddy, and he's doing good. His hair's growing back. He's feeling better. And folks, I have empathy for everyone who battles any kind of disease. And I know, Joe, you feel the same way, especially when you have to go through chemotherapy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's it's a scary thing. And, you know, Coach, I didn't know this until, you know, Liz has had some surgery lately. And I don't know if she failed to tell me this or if she just didn't want to tell me, but when she had her ovary removed, apparently there was a cyst on it, and everything checked out fine with that. And when she told me, when she came out of the doctor's office last week, I looked at her and I said, "Are you kidding me?" Because I knew nothing about it. And I thought, boy, if I'd have known about it for the 3 weeks prior, I'd have probably been a sick mess, you know, because it's just such a scary thing. And you know, anyone is battling it, you know, I just feel for them and their family and keep fighting. That's what Chick did. Chick wasn't going to give up.
Yeah, it's a battle, and I'm glad that everything worked out well for Liz. And obviously, she made the right call in not telling you because she knew you would be a basket case for the 3 weeks prior to her getting that procedure done. But we are happy that and very thankful that things are good with Liz. And I know I have several other friends out there that are battling different types of cancer, and they're battling, and we just hope and pray and believe that cures are out there. There's some promising things on the horizon, and I hope that the Federal Drug Administration and Surgeon Generals and all that get involved in allowing these new therapies and possible cancer drugs to come forward to maybe cut that red tape a little bit and let these things come forward, because, you know, Joe, and we're a sports talk show. We're not a medical show or a political show, although we will delve into all of that today. But sometimes when someone's fighting for their life, I wonder why some of these more advanced drugs and therapies aren't released to allow them to take advantage of and see if it can help them, because the prognosis in some situations is not very good, and the therapies that we have are not very good as far as being able to kill off or destroy the cancer. It does prolong life a little bit more, but these people and their families, they just go through one heck of a rough time. And so I'm just thankful that I got to spend that time with Chick, and we got to watch the game, and he's feeling better, so... Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Well, good. Glad you had a good day. Much better than my day. So.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on my
list.
We
don't need to react.
It's the end of college for a lot of the kids around the country, and they're coming home. And we do have an abbreviated show just to let our listeners know we will not be on the full 2 hours today, and I know I'm hearing all kinds of sighs and disappointment out in the internet world, but Joe has dealt with the college move home, and I am dealing with the college move home with my daughter Paige, but Joe had this interesting situation, folks, that happened, and I'm going to let him tell a little bit about it, because, you know, we're coming up on Mother's Day. And there's no one greater than our moms, and we'll spend a little time before the show's over talking about our moms. Both Joe and my mom have moved on to better things, and we'll talk about them and their effect on our lives. But Joe, dads do a lot too, and you sometimes, I think, are a little nutty in the dad department, and I think your kids know that they can get you to do about anything in the dad department. So just kind of let our listeners know about your what was going to be an easy day of getting your son's things and getting them home turned into a odyssey. Go ahead and share that with everybody.
Well, short story here. My son has got he's a very kind-hearted individual and offered to help move someone over to their apartment, which I at first I thought, okay, our van is 3/4 of the way full, so hopefully they don't have a whole lot of stuff. And multiple trips later, we got home at, I thought we were going to get home about 7, we got home about 1 in the morning, which tells you why the chipper nature of my voice is not there today.
It's the classic thing. You know, normally we go up and we get our kids and they don't have their stuff ready. And you're making massive trips up and down. And you're wondering why, like with my daughter Paige, she'll say, oh, I've got all day tomorrow and I have to get all my stuff and take it down. We had already, Janet and I had actually already gone up to Bloomington and taken a bunch of her things back to Evansville for the summer. She's a student at Indiana University, pre-med. And so she's talking to her mother yesterday, and she says, I've got to go, all so much packing to do. And Janet says to her, Paige, how many times have you gone up and down the stairs today at the sorority she lives in, gone out to the car or left the building, and her car sits right there? She said, how many times have you taken things along with you? And Paige says, oh, I probably went up and down 15, 20 times. How many times did you take things with you? Oh, good idea. So, I mean, it's just the nature of college students. And I feel like the more we are willing to do for our children, which we will do anything for them, the more they will just wait. They will wait on us to do it. And in your case, you not only did it for your son, you did it for someone else's son.
Well, we went up, and I'm telling you, virtually had everything agreed taken home. We had one day to bring home.
But let me ask you a question about you when you used to move to school. I was telling Reed this last night. How many times did Rosie and Ed help you? I don't think Dick and Ruby ever took me to school or picked me up.
Joe,
I did it.
My parents, my dad, who's still with us, 87, in great shape, and my mom, we had 9 kids, 7 straight boys. I was right in the middle. But I can tell you this, maybe they did with my oldest brother for just the sake of doing it one time. And they probably helped my sisters because, you know, for some reason, daughters get treated a little bit differently because they are daughters and we worry about them. My parents never moved us up to college or moved us home. I had a big old duffel bag, that Army duffel bag, that all clothes went in. I had another Army chest, the old wooden Army chest, that we put other things in. And several of us got in a car, somebody who had a car, and we moved ourselves up. And what we had is what we had, and what we accumulated was what we accumulated. And when we would go home in the summertime, unless we had an apartment that we were keeping, I lived in the dorm because I was a resident assistant as well, but you had to get everything out. You either took home what you needed and you threw away the rest because there was no one coming to pick us up. In fact, Tom Hollis, who I just talked about at the outset of the show, that went to St. Louis and we watched the game yesterday. Chick Hollis, Tommy Chick Hollis, literally 3 or 4 times drove up to IU, and he was out of school, drove up to IU to bring us home for Christmas or bring us home for the summer. I mean, that's the world we grew up in, Joe. And you know what? I didn't think anything about it. Did you?
No. I used to, even Liz. I mean, Liz used to throw her stuff in my car, and we'd go, you know. I mean, we never, you know. Heck, I did. They would visit once a year, basically, at my fraternity. They had a parents' weekend, and they would come that weekend. And other than that, I did not see them at Purdue. I came to Jasper to see them.
Yeah, it's really strange how things have changed, and how parents. We all have become helicopter parents. We've got to rent a van or a truck or load up 2 cars, and we've got to buy them brand new things, and we got to put up bunk beds, and we got to do all this stuff. And we really, I don't know if the kids really want it or not. I think we just assume that that's what's going on today, so we have to do that as well. And the number of trips, especially if you're in a dorm that's more than 2 or 3 floors, the number of trips up and down those stairs is just crazy. And Joe, when I think back, I thought it was neat when it was the day we were moving in and we just grabbed our duffel bags and our stuff and we took off. They're just, you know, we hope Mom and Dad would hand us a $20 bill or so, but it is out of control. And I am as bad as any other parent out there about it. Although each child that goes through, I'm not going to lie, I get a little bit less concerned about whether how much involvement I need, but you're right, Joe. But I think it's hilarious that here you are on the spur of the moment, thinking you're going to take this guy over to his apartment and a few things, and that was it. And you make four or five trips and end up 4 or 5 hours later.
Well, I'm just telling you, I thought I went up the weekend before just to make it just a boom, boom thing. And the crazy thing is, too, and this was what even made it even worse, was Ryan came home this weekend for Derby and for Mother's Day, and I picked her up in Indianapolis, and she knew we were going to pick up Reed. But first of all, she didn't know he had a final at 3, so she was already rolling her eyes, and you can just imagine how the rest of the day went. She had to be at the airport at 4 in the morning. And, yeah, she was exhausted, and, yeah, she wasn't real happy at all.
You know, I'm getting to the point where, and this is just a little parenting advice to people out there, and it's not because I've been so great at it, but having seen my mom and my dad and others around us and the generation we came out of, parents, I got to tell you right now, less is more for your kids. The less you do for them as they are getting older, the more you can do for them, because they have got to grow up. They have got to be responsible. They've got to learn how to call the storage place. They've got to learn how to rent a vehicle. They've got to learn how to go sign for a lease. They've got to learn what they can get in a dorm room or apartment and what they can't. And it doesn't have to be brand new. Of course, we don't want them picking up bed bug infested couch on the side of the road or something. But Joe, I am convinced, and I say this all the time, if you want your kids to be better, stronger, more prepared, do less for them. Guide them, point them in the right direction, give them some of the tools that they need, but less is more, Joe, and we all need to look in the mirror and realize that less is more. And then we wonder why, when they get out of school, they want to take 1, 2, 3 years to find a job. It's crazy. And so I've just come to the point of view that my parents were pretty smart on that, pretty wise, and they probably learned it from their parents as well. You know, you get to a certain point, less is more. If you want your kids to do more. So, all right, Joe, we've given our parenting advice and our parenting stories, and I know when my daughter gets home, the car's going to be full, and she's going to walk in the door, and she's not going to even consider unloading her vehicle, but Dad will be standing there saying, now, Paige, after you get in the house and get settled in about 5 minutes, you need to start bringing your stuff in. Of course, it'll take over 2 weeks for her to get the things off her bed and off the floor, Joe, because she will leave just enough room to sleep on her queen-size bed. The rest will be full of clothes and everything else. And she'll say, well, I need time to go through it. Do you buy that, Joe?
Yep.
Do they need that long to go through it?
I don't know. All I know is you're right, though. I mean, when I went to school, it took me hope. Maybe an hour, if not that, to move in, and I was probably Liz and I, you know, and we didn't have all the stuff. I mean, you know, what killed me was it was in a suite this year, and all four guys had a fridge. You know, we used to have just one. If a roommate had, you know, you just shared a refrigerator. Now everyone, you know, there's four refrigerators in this one little area.
It's crazy.
It's kind of interesting and kind of crazy.
It's crazy because you almost think, like, what happened to the days when, like you said, we talked to each other and the guy said, oh, I'll have a fridge. You don't need to bring one. I mean, everybody has to have their own now. It really is crazy. Now, I'm not advocating, Coach K is not advocating, and Joe are not advocating that we go back to the days where we had outhouses and used newspaper to clean our butts. We're not advocating that. That's not what we're saying. What we are saying is that, you know, we can blame this generation of kids coming through, these millennials, whatever you want to call them, the iPhone generation. We can blame them, but you know what? We're probably the enablers of it because we want to do more and we want to do better and we want to make sure that they look back and say, Mom and Dad were great to us. Listen, they're not going to look back for many years and say that. So we might as well accept it. We're the enemy, not the enemy, but we're the people that are in their way when they want to do things and not doing enough when they need something in their mind. So you can't win on that. Believe this, folks, if you take one thing away in this first week of May, take this away. If you want to do more for your kids, do less for them, and that will do more for them. Okay, we've got a number of things that we're going to hit before the show's over. Kentucky Derby coming up. Today is the Oaks, I believe. And Joe, Michael Lewis, who you mentioned at the top of the show, is going to be leaving Butler University. Assistant Michael Lewis of Butler University's basketball Bulldogs has taken another job at Nebraska. And I had a number of text messages asking me, what's he doing? Is this a good move? What are my thoughts? I'll give you my thoughts. Michael was going to be on with us, but he is also going to be attending the Oaks today with his wife. And with the craziness that's gone on, it was an offer that he just couldn't pass up. It happened quickly. He's been out to Nebraska. He's done this. He's done that. We agreed that he should come on next week. So Michael Lewis, the new assistant coach at Nebraska, will be on with us next week. I'm going to give you the three reasons why I think it was a good move. And here they are. Number one, Michael Lewis leaving Butler, which has been outstanding this last 15 years, two Final Four appearances, final game appearances, actually. They've made four of five tournament berths the last 5 years, three of four in the NCAA. They've done a great job. They've been ranked. They were ranked high last year for part of the season. But the Big East is a tough conference. And Butler is a newer member of the conference, and they are what I call an outlier in the conference. And what I mean by that is the bulk of the Big East is on the East Coast, and the recruiting area is the East Coast. They have tons of good players out there. And Butler is an outlier. And I think it's going to be really tough in the short term for Butler to get their hand in there, even with the success they've had, and make the critical recruits, get the critical recruits that they need on a consistent basis, especially in the short term. I know Coach Holtman does a great job. His staff will do a great job. But it's going to be tough to do because Butler is an outstanding academic school, and it's not, you can't just bring anybody in you want. And it's a situation where when you are an outlier school like that and you are not a hub school in the middle of the recruiting area, it's a little bit tougher sell. So I think, one, that's one reason I think it was a good move. The second reason I think it was a good move for Michael Lewis to move from Butler as an assistant to Nebraska. He comes back to the Big Ten. And that was one thing that several of the people that I responded to hadn't really thought of. You know, Michael Lewis was a graduate of Indiana University, played for Coach Bob Knight. He was the all-time leading assist. He was the all-time assist leader at IU. Until this past season when Yogi Ferrell beat his record. Yogi Ferrell, obviously a four-year starter for IU and very, very talented. They play more games now than they used to as well. And he ended up beating Michael's record as the all-time assist leader. Michael went to IU having played for me at Jasper High School, where he scored over 2,000 points in his career. And he went up there and transitioned his game. Again, back to my point, as I digressed a little bit with his background, Michael gets back into the Big Ten. And the Big Ten is one of the top premier basketball conferences in the country. Understand what I said. When I say one of the top, I don't mean one of the top 10 or the top 5. You look at the ACC, even though Villanova won the NCAA tournament this year in the Big East. You look at the ACC, and you look at the Big Ten, and those are the two number one conferences in the country when it comes to basketball. So it puts him back into a position where he's familiar, where he feels good, where he has some connections in the Big Ten. So I think that's a good deal. Tim Miles is doing a good job at Nebraska. They have an uphill battle, but Nebraska is a Big Ten school, and the Big Ten has a lot of resources. And Nebraska is one of those schools. We've known the name Nebraska for decades for football, but they also are building a basketball program. And the third thing, and I'm not privy, Joe, to the numbers, at least in a way that I could let the numbers out. I'm sure that because they're a public school, you can find the salaries of the assistants. But I believe he got a nice financial package, an increase, a raise. And when you've got a family with two kids, young kids, you're always looking for a good opportunity. And if it comes with a chance to make a financial impact for your family, then heck yeah, you're going to do it. And I believe this is just another stepping stone, Joe, for Michael Lewis to move up that ladder and be in a position, I think he's 39 or 40 right now, be in a position to become a head coach fairly soon. And we know that in today's economics of college basketball, if you get a head coaching job in one of the larger conference schools like Big Ten, SEC, ACC, Big East, Pac-12, if you get a head coaching job in one of those schools, you have an opportunity, if not to make a seven-figure salary, to make pretty close to a seven-figure salary. And if you can do that for 3 to 5 years, Joe, you and I know, because we make paltry amounts of money, that's really a lifetime of security for your family as they grow up.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, it's happy for Michael. I felt like this was a stepping stone as well. And congratulations to Michael. And look forward to it. We will not be, seeing how we are the coach, the good luck charm for Michael. We will not be talking to him on any weeks where Purdue is on the schedule. I will say that right now. But when he plays IU, I'll have him booked every week for that. So,
and it will be interesting to have Michael back in the Big Ten. And of course, if you've listened to our show for several years, Michael Lewis has been a constant for us. He's been very generous with his time.
Yes, he has.
To the show, and I mean, in the middle of conference tournaments, in the middle of NCAA runs. He has been just very generous with his time. So we'll have him on next week, folks. So if you want to get a little insight on why someone would move from an outstanding position at Butler as an assistant to the Big East to Nebraska in the Big Ten, Michael can shed some of that light. And I'll ask him some pointed questions, as I always do. And it'll be up to him to how much he wants to let us know. But I think it's a good move. I really do. Folks, we're going to go to our first break, and when we get back, we're going to talk some NBA playoffs. We're going to talk a little Jasper High School baseball and softball with Joe being in Jasper. Of course, Jasper High School located in southern Indiana. They've got their softball and baseball team have something in common, so we'll address that when we get back. Folks, it's an abbreviated Friday in May for the Coach K and Joe Show, but it is the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Kent Benson, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we are back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and I had just enough time. I don't know, Joe, do you drink coffee? Do you drink coffee, Joe?
Every once in a while, not really. I've given up basically cut caffeine. I don't drink the soft drinks or anything anymore. So, and I feel a lot better because of it. So, and I'm trying to get my wife to give up the caffeine as well. Coach, I just read something. I got to ask you about this right now. I know you got some other subjects, but I got to talk about this right now. While we were doing that segment, there was something on Golden Black about Caleb Swanigan and the NBA draft. And he basically comes out and says, if he can get drafted no matter where, he's going. Now, he's projected either in – I was looking up NBA drafts. He's projected anywhere from very end of round two to not even being drafted. What would be the reasoning for him? I mean, you know, I always felt like last year when he was at Purdue, he really wasn't at Purdue. He just wasn't – you know, he just wasn't into it, into being there. And it was just something he had to do. And would you do that? I mean, he could come back and play 1 year, maybe try to make that stock up into the first round. He said if he can get drafted, he's going to go. Ever heard such a thing?
Well, Joe, I think we're going to see this more and more. And I think you bring up a great subject, and it's very interesting. And, you know, Darius Latham, the defensive player for IU, I don't even – you know, he went into the NFL draft. I don't know if he got drafted or not.
No, he signed with someone, but he didn't get drafted after the
Okay, fact. So here's what I think. I think the money – Joe, I think the money is so big today that even if you are a second-round draft choice or you get invited to camps to work out or sign a contract, and I think the opportunity – is so much better than it would have been five years ago, 10 years ago. The fact that they can also go over to Europe and play, they can make a heck of a living in Europe in the short term as they develop their game. And here's the other thing I would say, and I think sometimes it's hard for us to look at it because of our commitment to our college teams when it comes to basketball and football. Look at them in the standpoint, if they were a high school player coming out or a 1 year of college and they go play baseball, even though they get drafted in the 30th round or whatever, their focus is not college. He may not enjoy the academic side of college at this point in his life. So I think because of the money is so good and the action, the actual opportunity for him to go play overseas and make good money, I mean good money, more than he can make in college. I think that's what the allure is right now.
I just am like sitting there scratching my head just to the fact that, you know, I mean, you saw him last year. He had some good moments, but he's also not by no means ready. And that's why I say if they just want to go, don't even make them come to college. Isn't college basketball is supposed to be about the student athlete, you know. If they don't want to be a student, just let them go. Let them go. Have the NBA give them a mentor that first year or so. Because in actuality, what does 1 year do for some of these people? It doesn't. I don't think they're any more mature than what they would have been otherwise. They just get the money 1 year later.
You know what, Joe? What might be an interesting idea, and it's not going to happen anytime soon, but some of our listeners may be aware of this, and some of our kids may be asking us before they're done. They call it a gap year, where before they graduate high school, they take a year and go overseas and travel, or before they b- before, as they get out of college or before they go to college, they take a year overseas or somewhere else and study or work in an internship. They're calling it a gap year. It's becoming very popular with this new generation coming up. I'm wondering if the NCAA, and I know this is going to cause people to go crazy when I say it, I wonder if the NCAA and the NBA, especially because of the situation, doesn't have a gap year like that and allow some of these players, maybe Joe, even coming out of high school, that think they can make it to go play in an NBA development league or whatever for a year and just see how good they really are and what their prospects really are, and then give them that opportunity to come back to college. And if they come back to college, they have to stay in college for at least a couple of years before they leave again or something like that. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe to get the Caleb Swanigans of the world to realize that they're not where they need to be, give them a gap year where they can play in a developmental or instructional league, find out what it's like to live in a crappy apartment, drive in a crappy bus, where they're not getting big money, where the NBA doesn't say, you're good enough, we're going to give you $1 million, and then they give them that option to go back and work on their game and grow up a little bit in college. Maybe the fact that they come straight to college and they keep seeing the allure of the NBA, they can't come to terms, they can't focus on what they need to do. Just my thoughts, Joe, a gap year.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's stupid to have these kids even go. If they're not going to go try to get a degree and care less about it, and from what I gather, and I know this firsthand with Kentucky, because one of Ryan's best friends played the volleyball there, most of those guys don't even go to college, don't even go to school their second semester.
I know that right now I'm probably catching all kinds of grief from people about having a gap year like that. But folks, don't look at it in terms of college or not college. Look at it in terms of these kids are being told that they're going to be NBA players right away. And so they go to college and they say, well, I'm going to go for 1 year and then I'm going to go ahead into the NBA. Maybe let them be drafted. And if they don't get drafted, let them go into a supplemental type draft or draw in where they go into a development league for these different franchises in the NBA, and after a year they don't get the call up, they have the opportunity to go back to college, to be recruited and go to college. And they have to make a commitment, because right now, Joe, I think one of the biggest issues that we have with college athletes and college programs is the idea of commitment. I'm sure if you haven't heard, there's a lot of grief going on about Texas A&M and committing to players when they were real young and now pulling the commitment, and then vice versa, players doing the same to colleges. We are really in a commitment problem here. And maybe this is part of the answer of this gap here, where a Caleb Swanigan who's being counseled by is it an uncle or someone that's kind of his keeper?
He actually is adopted but I'm just saying he goes on to say in this article that he won't go to the NBA Development League, or he doesn't want to go to Development League or Europe. Well, what are your options if you take over in the draft and don't get drafted? You can go try to be a free agent, but I don't think other than that,
I think he's going to go to Europe. I really do. I think that's what's going to happen. He's going to go to Europe, and he's going to say, I can go over to Europe and I can make $500,000 a year. And he can. I mean, they pay pretty well over there. And in some cases, the professional athletes that go over there from the United States and other countries, they get their money after any kind of a tax. They're not taxed on it. So I don't know the whole process, but it's a good point, Joe, and I think it's really a discussion that we're going to keep having, because I think the NBA and college, the NFL and college are really struggling with how are we going to keep this going, where baseball doesn't have that struggle, Joe. You've got the minor league systems, kids come out of high school, they get drafted, they go in, they try to make it, single A, double A, triple A, up the line. Otherwise, they go to college, they have the opportunity to be recruited, and then they hope as they go through college they get drafted. The NBA, NFL, those might be things that they have to look at, Joe. It really might. It's a good point, and it's a good discussion to have, and I know it's going to come up a lot more. Joe, I brought up before we went to break about Jasper, my hometown, which I love, and where you live in your hometown, and they have something in common with their high school baseball program, which is an outstanding program, has been since the 60s, actually. Don Noblett started it all. Ray Howard elevated it, and Terry Gilbert has taken it to the stratosphere. But softball in Jasper has also come a long way over the years. And right now, Joe, the baseball team and the softball team share something in common.
Yeah, they are ranked number one in the state. We need to enjoy that until next Monday, because the Wildcats boys baseball team did get beat by Forest Park the other night. So I don't think that we'll be staying at number one. But rankings are great. But they've got a team. I think that both programs have teams set up for deep sectional or state tournament runs. I mean, anytime you put Cal Kruger on the mound, you know, you're going to be in that game no matter who you're playing. And then the Jasper softball team has a junior. Her name's Olivia Canise, and she's done a great job. And Matt Pryor is the head coach at Jasper, and he's done a great job taking that. You know, just as you said, Ray Howard built it, you know, even more from Noblett, and then Terry's taking it to the stratosphere. Matt's kind of done that too. I mean, the program was a nice program. They've had some success, but last year they got beat by Gibson Southern on a controversial call at the home plate on a bunt, and Gibson Southern went on to win the state. And this year, you know, Gibson Southern's a top program again, but because of the success factor, they're now up class. But I would have liked to have seen them stay in that class, because I'd like to have seen Jasper get a rematch with them, because I think that Coach Prears is he's put together a great program, and I'm not bragging on Jasper, but I know firsthand, and I know by watching other coaches. I mean, Jasper's successful because of the time that these coaches put in after their season's over and before their season. And Matt's got a field house now for the softball, just for softball, up by the softball field. And I know that girls are in there, you know, all the time working out and getting better. And, you know, that's what it takes. And it's great to have them both one number one. Just like I said, I don't know if we'll be number one in baseball at the end of the week, but I think we got to be one of the favorites to win state. And tonight's the big game, Southridge Jasper, over at League Stadium. I don't go to many of the away games, but I always enjoy going and sitting at League Stadium and watching baseball. So I'm going to head over and watch Jasper. And it also have some of the best pizza in the area at the Gaslight, Coach. Have you ever had Gaslight pizza?
I have had Gaslight pizza, Joe. And it's good pizza. And Huntingburg has a couple of places with some decent pizza. Let me ask you something about this game. How is Southridge? How is Southridge?
I mean, they've got their nights. I mean, they've gotten beat by a few teams that maybe they should have, but they've beat some good teams. And they've got some pitchers they can throw out on the mound. Seeing how Jasper and Southridge are sectional opponents, you know, sometimes, you know, on these type of games, both coaches will throw off. You know, they won't throw one of their better pitchers. They won't throw who they're going to see, you know, in the tournament. I think that they could probably throw Cal out there tonight, and it wouldn't matter, because Cal's going to be pretty awesome in the sectional as well. But you could see an off pitcher tonight. I mean, I've seen that many times, you know, through the years when two sectional opponents play. They don't want to They don't want to, you know, have the let the team have the luxury of seeing a pitcher, so they'll throw off. And I don't know. It should be an interesting game. And, you know, it's always the thing about Jasper Southridge, and kind of the same thing about Jasper Forest Park. I didn't really think much of the Jasper Forest Park game the other night because Forest Park's not – their record's not very good. But, you know, apparently they have a couple of pitchers, though. And seeing how that's the only time Forest Park's going to see Jasper this year, they threw those pitchers out there and won 2-0. And to hold Jasper to shut Jasper out, you've got to have some really good pitchers.
Well, I agree with you, and in high school especially, if you have outstanding pitcher in softball and you only really need one, and you have a couple of outstanding pitchers in baseball, you're going to win a lot of games. I mean, that's just the way it is because you're not going to face. In a lot of high school teams, just a big lineup of hitters. And softball especially, I've seen enough softball, not a lot, but I've seen enough to know that if you've got a really good pitcher, and in softball they can pitch every game, you're going to win a lot of games. That's just the way it is. So that's the key. But I thought it was worth mentioning the Jasper's baseball and softball, lady softball team, was number one in the state of Indiana. And I did know that Forest Park had beaten Jasper, but the poll had already come out, so it didn't matter because they were number one until the next poll comes out. So that's nice. That's nice for my hometown and a town that has a lot of good, hardworking kids and coaches and good facilities. Next thing I want to hit, Joe, and I know you're going to have some comments on this, and it's hard for me to talk about this because I have so much respect for both people. When it comes to basketball, I just have so much respect for both people. But I got to comment on it. We're going to talk about the NBA. We got to start with not the playoffs, but in Indiana, the firing of Frank Vogel by the Indiana Pacers. And I know they said it wasn't a firing. His contract wasn't renewed. His contract was up for renewal, and it wasn't renewed. And I, you know, when I first heard, Joe, that Larry Bird and Frank Vogel had some kind of a press conference, this was before this, where they had talked about the season, and I guess it was brought up, will Coach Vogel be back, and Larry kind of hem-hawed around on it. I was truly surprised by it, and then to find out yesterday that Larry Bird, Indiana legend from Springs Valley, French Lick, to Terre Haute, Indiana State, to Boston, back to Indianapolis for the Indiana Pacers, he had decided not to renew his contract. And as a basketball guy who just has so much respect for both of these gentlemen, Joe, I was blown away because I have stated on this show for several years now when we've had Bobby Slick Leonard, who has agreed 100%, Frank Vogel is one of the better NBA coaches that are in the league right now.
Well, I was, you know, seeing how I was driving up to Lafayette yesterday, I was able to catch some of the Dockage show, and needless to say, he was livid. But the one thing I was interested in hearing was I didn't know how the fans felt, and they were all up in arms about it. And you know, there wasn't one person that called in that supported him being let go. There wasn't one.
Well, I can tell you that I, as soon as I heard about it, shocked that it happened, even though I thought it was funny that Larry Bird did not clearly indicate that, hey, we're just working out the details. Even though I couldn't believe that a few days ago, I was shocked when it was announced, and I tweeted immediately that Larry, who I like a lot, this is just a crazy decision. Frank Vogel kept this team, this franchise afloat this year. and last year with injuries, guys that didn't perform the way they were supposed to, some mistakes on draft picks and trades on draft picks. I just thought the guy had done a wonderful job. You look at Lance Stephenson. You look at Hibbert since they've left the Pacers. What have they done? The common denominator was Frank Vogel and the Pacers. They played well. Since they've left, they've been terrible. And Frank Vogel does such a really, really good job defensively with this team. And if you want to say, yeah, well, Larry wants, we need more offense. We need to get up and down the floor and shoot that ball more. Well, folks, we don't have the guys to do that. That's where Larry Bird comes in. But to make Frank Vogel, and I put hashtag scapegoat, to make Frank Vogel the scapegoat was so disingenuous and was so disappointing. And what was worse, and I'm sure most people have heard Larry's quotes, what was worse was the reasons behind it. Larry gave examples of, you know, after 3 years, coaches sometimes lose the attention of their players. That's the biggest bunch of baloney I've ever heard. It does happen at some point, but it's usually more in the 7 to 10 year range, not the 3 year range. And Joe, I did not think, based on what I saw in the playoffs with Joe, which I think some people were way more confident about the Pacers winning that playoff round. I didn't think our guys didn't listen. We just got beat. We had opportunities to win games. We came back after tough losses and blew them out a couple times. I don't get the reason behind not rehiring Frank Vogel. I don't get it at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either. You know, some of the explanations I heard is he wants to do more small ball, you know, faster team. Well, you know, he's the guy in charge of the getting the appropriate personnel. So, you know, I think that, you know, you gotta kind of scratch your head and maybe point to Larry that maybe Larry's part of the problem if that's the case.
Well, I'm not going to say that Larry can't go out and get a quality coach and can't go out and tool the team to whatever he's thinking the dynamic needs to be. But I will tell you this. I agree with you that Larry Bird needs to take responsibility for the players that were brought in to this team. You know, Paul George's injury last year was not Frank Vogel's fault. But I'll tell you what Frank Vogel did. He kept those Pacers competitive all the way into getting into the playoffs. This year, we had undersized guard play. You know it, and I know it, Joe. We had young people in the post. We didn't have the size that we had in the past. Paul George played well. George Hill played well at times. We had guys that played well, but some of the people on that floor, Larry Bird brought in, Ellis, few others. And, you know, we didn't have a disastrous season. We got beat by a team in the playoffs that had two all-star guards. We got beat by a team in the playoffs that's tied 1-1 with the Heat and may end up winning that series and playing LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I'm not so sure we can say we're too far away. And I'm sure what Larry Bird's saying is maybe we need a new voice to take us over the hump. But I don't buy the three-year deal. And I would tell anyone listening to my voice or any other voices when it comes to coaches, 3 years is not an eternity for players and coaches to be together, especially on the NBA level, where these people are adults, where they're men, where they, when the season's over, there's separation between them. I mean, Larry Legend, I don't know what you were reaching for, but that was just a poor way to explain his decision. I would have rather him come out and said, Frank Vogel did a great job with the Pacers as we know this team, but we need to go in a direction that's going to get us over the hump. I don't think Frank Vogel, and I don't think the team as it looks, can do that. We need to bring in someone else and have the dynamic that we're looking for. I would have rather him said that. But when he went into Red Auerbach, who coached for 17 years, not three, folks, and he went into Bill Fitch, 4 years, not three, and he went into Casey Jones, who was there 5 years, not three, I found that a little disingenuous. And I really felt like Larry was reaching because he wasn't prepared to explain clearly why they did not retain Frank Vogel. And we all know Larry can be a little bit snippy and snotty and standoffish if he wants to. Having said that, man, Joe, if we can, before the month's over, get Bobby Leonard or somebody with the Pacers to come on and give us some idea of their thoughts on it, I mean, that would be wonderful. Because I got to tell you, I, as a former coach and as someone who just loves the game and watches these guys in action, I just think, and I know you were the same way, we both thought Frank Vogel did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of stunned by it all yesterday, and didn't think that, you know, what. At first, when I turned on that show, I didn't know what he was talking about, and then I realized, wait a minute, is he talking about Vogel being gone? And I was like, I was kind of shocked. I was like, wow, where'd this come from? Did I miss something? Was there a fight or something? I didn't have any idea.
Yeah, I'm beside myself on it because, folks, I take a lot of pride in what coaches have to do every day and what they have to go through. And every time I talk to someone who's been in coaching for the first time or family members and they talk about how tough it is, how difficult it is, you have to understand. If you've been watching politics as of late, Joe, and how could we not watch it? It's on constantly. And you saw the Republican primary, and you saw you see the Democratic primary, and you see the things that are said and how people act. And well, that's coaching is a microcosm of that, because depending on where you're at, what team you're coaching, what community you're in or college you're at, it's that vile at times. It's that crazy and radical, and there's that much venom and spite out there between not always just the team you're playing against and the fans you're going up against, but your own fans and your own team and your own community. So I'm just shocked that Frank Vogel was released. And I know he's going to end up okay. I know he's going to end up with a job, if not this coming year, within the next couple years. He does a great job. It's just going to be interesting to see who Larry Bird gets. And, folks, for those of you out there with Brad Stevens on your mind constantly, the bromance of Brad Stevens, the coachmance of Brad Stevens, it ain't going to be Brad Stevens. He's not going to leave the Boston Celtics to come to the Pacers. I just don't think that's going to happen.
No.
No way.
He's in a great situation where he's at. So
it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Okay, rest of the NBA, let's go through quickly some of the NBA that's going on. We'll touch on a few more topics. We're going to go about 90 minutes or maybe a little bit less today on the show. It's been a good first hour. We are entering hour two. My Cavaliers, LeBron James-led Cavaliers, now have a 2-0 advantage against the Hawks. And the other night, they hit 25 three-pointers to set an all-time regular season and playoff record. They were tied for that record at Golden State Warriors, beat that record earlier this year with 21 in a game. Well, it seems like some people were complaining that the Cavaliers, they were rubbing it in the face of the Atlanta Hawks. folks, I saw parts of that game, and I saw the latter part of the game, and I don't understand what people are talking about. I understand what Charles Barkley said, Joe, and I don't know if you heard his comment. He said that the Atlanta Hawks needed to take somebody out. They needed to show the Cavaliers, you're not going to throw that in our face like this. You're beating us, and now you keep shooting the three. Now, let me set that up a little bit. I don't think he meant take somebody out, like, in their career. He meant take them out by letting them know we're not going to put up with that. An elbow, a knockdown, whatever you want to call it. But for those of you crying foul that the Cavaliers and King James was rubbing it in, yeah, that, you guys are really cool now. Listen, they didn't rub it in. If you saw the game, the Cavaliers starters were on the bench. It was the second unit that was out there hitting threes at the end. It wasn't the starters. So don't make it sound like the Cavaliers and LeBron James and Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving and Smith were out there on the floor till the end with a 25-30-point lead shooting threes. That was not the case. I would throw it back the other way and say the Atlanta Hawks should have came out and defended a little bit more. But also, I might say, some nights that happens. That's why the NBA playoffs are multiple games. Some nights, when you coach and when you play, whether you're on the offense or the defense, it happens. The other team can't miss, and you can't stop them. And some nights, the other team can't make a shot, or you can't make a shot. It happens. But don't be so quick to rip the Cleveland Cavaliers and King James because they set a record. You got a chance to go for a record, you go for it. I didn't see anybody complaining when the Golden State Warriors hit 21 threes and they were up 20. I didn't see anybody complaining about that. Oh, that's great. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. Oh, that's great. But the Cavaliers do it, and they somehow were rubbing it in. I am fully of the belief that if you have an individual or a team that is close to setting a record, you go ahead and set it. That's my opinion. I believe that. And I think the Cavaliers were justified in all that. And I don't find anything wrong, anything vulgar or high-handed with what Charles Barkley said. Because I'm telling you right now, if Joe Milligan and I are out playing one-on-one, and he's draining threes, they're raining down, the thunderstorm, the lightning is going to come down on Joe the next time he shoots a three. That's just a guarantee.
Or if you're in a Schulteis game and it's game point, the two Schulteises are going to foul the hell out of each other because they're not going to win. The other one's not winning.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to send a message. and a lot of times – we'll send a message early. In fact, over Christmas, we played pickup basketball outdoors because it was so warm. And I sent a message early in the game. And it got some people heated. We were all relatives. And it got heated. I loved it. I loved it because there was so much competitiveness out on the floor. I loved it. But Cavaliers go up 2-0. Warriors, Steph Curry's probably not going to be playing in this series against Portland. Warriors are up 2-0, and Joe, they look pretty good. I got to admit, even without Steph Curry, they look pretty good.
Yeah, they look good. And, he's a great player, but, you know, apparently they have a little bit more than what people thought.
Yeah, and I think a few weeks ago we were on the show, and I brought up a point. Who needs their player more? Do the Golden State Warriors need Steph Curry more, or do the Cleveland Cavaliers need LeBron James? And I said the Cleveland Cavaliers need LeBron James. And it was simple. This was before Curry was hurt. It was simple. Kyrie Irving without LeBron James couldn't have a winning record. Kevin Love without LeBron James didn't make the playoffs. But LeBron James on Cleveland without those guys did make the playoffs the first time he was there. Steph Curry is a great shooter, great offensive player. But LeBron James brings so much more to the floor for a team than Steph Curry does. He's bigger. He's stronger. He passes better. Fancier. He passes better. He just can do more things. The Spurs are in a battle. They're 1-1 in their playoff series with OKC. And if OKC wins tonight, folks, boy, it could put the Spurs in a lot of hurt. Even though it's 2-1, the psychological edge is going to be big. And as I mentioned earlier, the Heat are 1-1. The Cubs are on fire, and I just hate to say it, but they look like they're just going to run all over the National League right now, but it's early. It's early. Joe, Mother's Day is coming up, and we both have had mothers. They may not have been happy to claim us at times, but we both had mothers. And then, of course, we have children, and we're married to their mother. And so I thought we'd take just a few minutes on this Mother's Day weekend to talk about the important mothers in our life, both the mothers we had and the mother of our children that we are married to. So I thought, Joe, I'd let you start, take a few minutes and talk about Ruby and Liz, and then I'll talk a little bit about Rosie and Janet, and we'll move on in the show.
Well, what can I say about Ruby Milligan? I mean, you're one of the most loyalist people. Unconditional love was totally her word. Much like my father, she made every kid in our family feel like they were the favorites. And she'd do anything for you. She was totally a selfless person. It was all about her family. And, you know, the funny thing is, I think I described my wife as well there, you know. You know, they're both just, they love their kid. They'll do anything for them. You know, we were kind of discussing that, you know, with the moving them into college thing a while ago. But, you know, they would have done anything. And, you know, I told you, said Ruby didn't move me up there, but if I asked her to, she would have been in the car immediately. She'd have been in the car immediately taking me up to Purdue. And, you know, I think about her every day. You know, this is always kind of an interesting time of year because my dad's birthday and Mother's Day always are pretty close to each other. So I get to reflect upon both of them. You know, those of you who have your parents still, as I tell everybody, don't take them for granted. Go visit them. Spend don't ever live with any regrets. And that's the one thing I can say about myself with my parents. I live with no regrets, you know, because of the way I respected and treated them. And Ruby, I love you. And Liz, I kind of love you too.
Good people, both of them. And I remember Ruby well. Great memories of Ruby and that look she would give me. And I don't blame her for giving me that look. But if she only knew that you were the cause of most of those looks. And Liz, of course, known her since we were little people. So for me, Mother's Day weekend, this whole month is a big month for me. My mom, Roseanne, she was born in May, birthday's coming up, in fact, and she passed away in May. So Mother's Day weekend and the month of May in general is just a bittersweet time. She's been gone now quite a few years, but you never forget the impact of your mother on your life. And I think that there's a great connection between daughter and mother, but there's also sometimes some pushback between daughter and mother because daughters want to become adults and mothers, and mothers still want a mother and direct their daughters. But with sons and mothers, there's always that they raise you, they're strong with you, they discipline you. But, Joe, as you said, they love you no matter what. I think, you know, dads want their sons to grow up and be strong enough, and so there's a little bit of toughness in that love. But mothers, even though they discipline you, they're hard on you, they may cause you to have a tear, they're there to wipe that tear. It's really an interesting dynamic that only a woman, a mother of a child, And I'm not saying you have to give birth to that child. You may adopt children. You may take over children's lives after they lose their parents. it's a connection that happens. It's something special inside a woman. And my mom had to raise 9 kids, 7 straight boys. And when I think of the dirt and the filth and the piles of clothes and the plates left under couches and beds and food crumbs and glasses with half-drank water or milk or whatever spilled, or kitchen cabinets left open, or refrigerator doors left open, or the milk not put back. When I think of all that she had to do over and over and over for us, the same things I complain about with my kids. She had 9 kids. She had to give birth to them. She had to raise them. And she also ran a successful business. And my mom was just great about being tough and yet right there for you, right there to help you. And I had a great mom. And even the times that I thought she was being too tough on me, I look back and I think, no. I mean, she was right there every second, all the time. She just – it's just incredible that you can take care of that many kids at one time. And, of course, I have just an awesome mother of my children, Janet, of course, my sweetheart forever. She is the most loving mother, caring. I kid her all the time, Joe. I'm sure Liz is similar. I kid her all the time about how she acts like she's going to be tough in this instant, and then she ends up coming back around and giving in. But she's a great mother to our kids. So happy Mother's Day, Suzanne.
And what a lot of people don't realize, and is that, you know, we're in our 50s. We're in our early to mid 50s, and we are both married to the person we started dating at a very young age in our teens, you know. So, you know, longevity says a lot, and, you know, when you find quality women, you got to keep them, and we both have.
Well, I agree, and whether you are the husband of your children's mothers, make sure it's special for them, or if your mother is still with us, get out there and spend time with her. Even if you haven't gotten along, even if you've had a little pushback, even if you're trying to find your spot, your place, and mom's still kind of trying to direct it or guide it or make you see something, turn the other cheek, take a breath. Your mom would do anything for you. And like I said, you don't have to give birth to be someone's mother, to be someone's mom. You just got to love, and that's what they do. All right, Mother's Day weekend. All right, last couple things, Joe, and we'll wrap things up. I don't know what kind of Kentucky Derby fan you are. I've never bet on the Derby. It's coming up this weekend. I always watch it when it's on TV. I love the festivities leading up to it, the mint juleps, the beautiful hats, all the celebrities that come in. For some reason, folks, and I don't know why, for some reason, we have not had an invitation to Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby as celebrities yet, Joe. I'm not sure what's going on there.
Yeah, I know. We should be. You know, I've never been to the Derby, but I've been to the Oaks, and you know what the Louisville people say? The Oaks is for Louisville. The Derby is for tourists.
I've not been to the Oaks. I've not been to the Derby. I have been to Churchill Downs. I have had a mint julep at Churchill Downs. And I didn't like the mint julep at Churchill Downs. And I'll be honest with you, even if I got an invitation to go to the Kentucky Derby, I would not go. Because I can tell you, I just don't have a great enthusiasm for horse racing, and I really don't have a desire to spend that much time standing around waiting for horses to run.
yeah, exactly.
I just don't.
How long do they run for? I guess that's what the mint juleps are for. Pass the time away.
Yeah, they're out there for a couple minutes. I mean, it's just it's ridiculous. But having said, horse racing is an American, a major American sport. It has waned and grown and waned and grown in popularity over the years. Of course, Europeans were big into horse racing, and obviously the United States settled originally, as far as immigration is concerned, by Europeans. Of course, the Native Americans were here before that, and they were also very skilled with horses as well. Joe, I'd say we're about done. Last thing I'm going to bring up, this political stuff, it's crazy. The Republicans, they really have their nominee. It's Donald Trump, and some people are pro-Trump, and some people aren't. I happen to be one of the guys that, at this point, I still say, why not? Why can't a guy who's created thousands of jobs, built businesses, worked deals all over the world, dealt with many situations, has failed and come back, has made mistakes and come back, why is he no less qualified to be president than some guy that's been a career politician and been in Congress and the Senate for 30 years, 25 years, 20 years, and really other than vote on laws and pass bills, got his paychecks from the taxpayers?
Yeah, and I will say one thing. I did put this on Facebook the other day. It's ridiculous, all the people posting lies about both of them, both candidates. I'm not just saying just Trump, about Clinton as well. I mean, you know, all you got to do is go – and people don't believe everything you read. Just go to Snopes or something and research it and find out that 99% of the crap that people are posting is a bunch of crap. I've actually defriended a couple people because they are they're so into this and so worried about Trump getting it that they just have posted out-and-out lies, and I'm not about lying. And I've just deleted them. And if they ask me, I'll tell them why. You know, you're ridiculous. You're absolutely ridiculous. I do have one thing to say. The protesters at the Trump rallies, I totally feel is set up by Democrats. You know, are the Republicans doing it too at the Hillary rallies? No. You know, are you just worried because a lot of the freebies are going to be gone? I know my daughter tells me we'll never win Florida ever again to Republicans just for the fact that 90% of the state's living off the government. I'm serious. You ever been to Miami? You always think, hey, I'm going to wake up early and get to South Beach to beat the traffic. No, there's traffic all the time because no one works.
Folks, and we are just not a political show, but we will give our views on politics.
What I'm saying is, I don't sit here and bash. And I'm not even saying for sure I'm voting. I don't know who I'm voting for yet, okay? I'm not 100% sure. But here's the deal. I'm not sitting here bashing Hillary constantly. You know, it's like that they're in panic mode. They're in absolute panic mode, the Democrats are, and it drives me crazy. And just, you know, I've not been happy about the present president for the last 8 years, but he's our president, and I've dealt with it, you know? Whoever's our president, this time you have to deal with it. And those who want to move, get your asses out. Go. I'll help you move. I'll come over and pack your bags to leave. You know, we're a great country, and we're going to be great no matter what.
Joe, I would echo that sentiment. These people that try to spread fear and say, you know, if Clinton is president or Trump's president, our country's going to fall apart. I'm moving. But our country's not going to fall apart. Every time we elect a president, the other side says, oh, our country's doomed. Will we have challenges? Yes. Will we have successes? Yes. But because of our foundations of who we are as a people, we will not fall apart. And we may have challenges, but a lot of those challenges are going to happen either way. And how we deal with those challenges are important. But I do have a problem. I'm not going to lie. And if you follow me on Twitter, Coach K and Joe Show on Twitter, I do post tweets concerning it. You know, when I hear people say that one of the candidates is racist, I simply laugh and say, first of all, how they come up with that, and you said it, they lie, and they spin. They take a comment or lack of a comment and spin it out. All you have to look at who's in the campaign with them. All you have to look is at, like in Trump's example, Dr. Ben Carson. Why is Dr. Ben Carson a brilliant man, an African-American, black American, however you want to call it, an American period? He wouldn't be supporting Donald Trump if that was the case. So that to me is silly and stupid. I think the biggest problem with Donald Trump has been he had a strategy, and it was an attack strategy, because that was the only way he could get himself in a position to gain recognition, be a serious candidate. And he has said some things, some of his rhetoric. It's not been nice, but he's not also a PC person. He doesn't speak things in a way that a true politician or great orator would say it. He says it the way he sees it. And if he says illegal immigrants need to be legal, he's not saying that if you're Hispanic, you can't be an immigrant to this country. He's saying illegal. He doesn't care about immigrants. And that's what bothers me. The people that try to use fear by clouding the truth, that's what bothers me. We'll see who wins. The gals I'm most mad at, are the ones that try to create fear and the ones that try to create disunity. And I'll give you an example before we end the show. Paul Ryan, who is Speaker of the House, he ran a failed campaign as vice president with Romney, I believe it was. Listen, Paul Ryan becomes Speaker of the House after he says over and over, I don't want the job. He takes it. Now he says, I don't want to be president. I don't want to be the Republican nominee. I think he's a little ticked off that Trump is going to now be the nominee, because I think that Paul Ryan seriously wanted to come in and play this shell game and come in like a white knight to the Republican convention and become the nominee, because he doesn't want to put himself out on the line and actually run for it, because he might lose. So he waits for somebody to come and kind of beg him to do it. I got news for Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan, you are Speaker of the House. You said yes to it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Do your job. You are Republican. Support your Republican nominee and work together. And quit trying to strong arm the president, the position of presidency of the United States, by making speaker your speaker position more important. Because I got news for you. It's not. If you want to be president, run for it. You probably find out, like you did in the vice presidential nomination, you couldn't even carry your state. Okay, other than that, Joe, we're not a political show.
Well, and I have one last thing to say, and this is another pet peeve. And I've noticed this. The Hillary supporters on social media basically calling the Trump supporters dumb and idiots, and they don't know what they're doing. You know, that's what makes America great. We all can have our opinion. So keep your opinion. I'll live with my opinion, which I'm not 100% sure where it's at right now, and you live with yours. But don't call me stupid, and I won't call you stupid, even though I think you're stupid.
Well, I will tell you that CNN always tries to bring out the point. CNN and NBC and Chuck Todd, who I can't hardly listen to. He's so one-sided. They always like to tout that the people who supported Trump are low education, low income. And I got to tell them, I really have to tell them something. I know 15 people right now who support Donald Trump. They are all more than college educated, and they are six-figure plus earners of income. And I'm not saying 12 out of 100 people I know. I mean 12 people I can just think of quickly, and there's more than that, that believe a candidate like Donald Trump should have the opportunity to be president of the United States, because the other way we're doing things, it isn't working anymore. It's at a standstill. No, the voices aren't resonating anymore, and they aren't willing to do the things for the American people they need to do, because they want to be professional politicians, they want a 30-year job, and then they want a lifetime pension of $100,000+. And that's not what the framers of the Constitution, the foundational fathers, that is not what they wanted when they established this government. And I'll tell you something else. The George Washingtons, the Thomas Jeffersons, those guys were not career politicians. They served in political offices. But you know what they did for a living? They were farmers. They were business owners. They were architects. That's how they earned their living. That's where they made their money. They didn't make it being politicians or in a political office. Do your history, folks. Read your history. Look into it. And these people that are telling you differently, they're lying to you because they know you don't take the time to learn. Last thing before we go, Jared Eichhoff, modern-day high school graduate from Evansville. He pitched for the Phillies yesterday. I want to make sure before we end the show that I give him his props. There are a number of people from Evansville, modern-day high school, supporting him yesterday. Jared Eichhoff pitched very, very well. He really did. He pitched really well, and they lifted him in around the seventh inning. I don't know why they did, because the Phillies fell apart after that. Other than giving up a home run, I think in the first or second inning, he pitched tremendous the rest of the way. And for a team that's not very good, his mental focus was right there. So continued success for him. It's great to have another person in Southern Indiana doing well in the major leagues. Folks, that's going to do it for our abbreviated show. I'm going to turn it back over to Joe. Folks, be careful. Have a great weekend. Get out and mow your lawn today because they say rain's coming at least around this area. If you're listening in Europe, if you're listening in Asia, if you're listening out in Southern California, have a great weekend. The best to you. God bless you. Joe, you got it.
Okay. As we end the show every week, you know, take your kid to a sporting event. There's softball, there's track, there's tennis, there's baseball. There's all kinds of sporting events going on right now. And high school sports, for the money you pay, you just can't beat it. So for Coach K, I'm Joe saying we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.